Here we go again.
What's
up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Neon Belly Podcast. We are your hosts, Nate,
Joy,
Brandino,
and this week we are going to talk about last night's UFC fight night, Cody Garbrandt versus Rob Font. Seems as though we might have a new contender at 135 pounds and also a new contender at women's strawweight. We'll also talk about the UFC heavyweight picture and how it's all shaping out. Also, Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 3? Interesting. Gordon Ryan makes a huge announcement about his competitive future. We have some fight announcements, some fight retirement announcements, some car thieves, and so much more.
Yes,
but
sir.
First, boys, what is up on this last Sunday in May?
Great day.
It is the last Sunday in May. Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that's crazy.
Isn't it? Especially, like, I feel like January took 3 years to get through.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, man, we're already in May. It's
you feel wild. Like some of that since COVID's kind of, the restrictions have kind of lightened up.
Could
it feels
be.
A bit more.
And I think it's weather. The sun's out
weather.
Longer. So the day, it's like 8 o'clock and the sun's still out. And you're like, what the heck's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went to, so last night we went to the Indy 11 game, like you guys know. And it was crazy because, you know, the game got over at like 9 o'clock and I'm like, it's still like super bright out. You know what I mean? Like,
like
the players all had their hands in their eyes trying to block the sun from their eyes.
Right.
I mean, it was like super, super bright out. Even at 9 o'clock, I'm like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just doesn't even, seems like it just happened so fast.
It's not even June.
I know.
June, July.
Speaking of Indy 11 game though, I did have the realization that there is nothing better in the America, United States than an amazing stadium hot dog. I will literally go to any sporting event anywhere just to have hot dogs. And I go hungry on purpose. Even going out of town like that, I will literally go just eat hot dogs.
Just any stadium?
It's like, yeah, because they're like beef hot dogs typically. They're usually a little bit denser. They usually steam them a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but if you've ever been to like a sporting event and had a hot dog, you know what I'm talking about right now.
I have, but I don't remember them
being
that
memorable.
Do you feel
like the price makes you like,
oh dude, it's disgusting,
it
bro. It is so,
it's like
so,
I paid $17 for
no,
this.
No, bro,
so.
We got,
it's so
we
good.
Got two hot dogs and two bottled drinks and it was $15.
I thought you were about to say 15. I still wasn't going to be shocked.
$15, bro.
That better be a good hot dog.
$5 a hot dog, $5 a drink.
Do you put a lot of stuff on it?
No, you don't need to. That's the, I put nothing on it.
You
literally.
Put nothing. You eat a plain hot dog and
plain
bread.
Plain hot dog. It is so good.
Seriously?
Plain pocket dog.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as my favorite ice cream being vanilla. Like that's
that doesn't shock me with you.
Yeah.
Like,
you didn't know that?
You are vanilla.
No, I'm saying, I would be more shocked. Like, I would probably picture you as like, I don't like ice cream, just shaved ice.
Yeah.
Just no
just
flavor.
Just a few sprinkles.
Dude, how do you eat vanilla
so
ice cream?
It's not, I definitely eat a lot more. Like we just went to what's the ice cream place right by my house?
Scoops.
No.
Oh no,
frozen custard.
Frozen custard.
We went there a couple
at.
Days ago and I got the black raspberry flavor
because
it was the flavor of the week.
Are you guys Scoops? This is all people that don't live in Kokomo, apologies. But we have some really good ice cream here locally. Like three really solid places. Are you guys Scoops, Cone Palace, or Frozen Custard?
Depends on what I'm getting.
Yeah, I'm the same way. The same way. Because here's the thing, Cone Palace, the puppy chow quake. Oh,
yeah.
Schmacking, boys.
Yeah, I'm in an interesting spot because I'm a big sherbet guy.
Ugh, and yeah, Cone Palace, you do like sherbet.
And Cone Palace does like a month, like, oh, pineapple,
yeah.
You know, peach. So they have more options there. But a Scoops, I had the rainbow sherbet yesterday.
Yeah.
All you need is one scoop, obviously, because they put a 17-pound
oh, it's
scoop
massive
in the cup.
Scoops, yeah.
Scoops, they, my favorite thing from there is their blueberry waffle cone. And ooh, nobody else sells it.
I never knew they even had that.
Yeah.
Really?
I can't find it anywhere else, anywhere.
For our listeners, don't Google that, though.
Scoops.
Yeah, no.
Here's the best thing at Scoops that you guys don't even know about, probably, because it's in the little freezer. It's not even ice cream.
One of the pucks or something
it's
like that?
It's the cookies. So they've got, they do their own, and they're like Blondie-style cookies, two chocolate chip cookies with like this much ice cream. Like, I usually have to cut ice cream out of it because it's just too much vanilla ice cream.
Are they better than, doesn't Cone Palace do those?
Oh, dude, yeah. I think they're called Knuckleheads or something like that. They're in the little freezer when you go in, but they are literally, like, we get a box of them every probably month or two, and they are just phenomenal.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you think about it, you know, we have, Kokomo has obviously an array of restaurants of different styles. But then when you talk, we talk about different bars and stuff, but then even ice cream. Because like Dairy Queen can still hit a spot when you need the little blizzard action. Dude,
if I'm going that style ice cream, it's not Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen's not. I would go to Dairy Queen because it's like right across the street from my house almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's close. We go sometimes. If I want like kind of like restaurant style, Culver's. Culver's ice cream is hands down.
Concrete mixer.
Oh, dude. Mm-hmm. Dude, you can just get like honestly just their chocolate, plain chocolate.
You know who else has underrated ice cream? Rallies. It melts quickly. Yeah. But if you like those core.
The strawberry cheesecake one they got.
You guys like Frosties?
Yeah, yeah, with french fries. I got to go. Yeah. Dude, I dip french fries, chicken nuggets in them, whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd probably try a burger. I'd probably just dip a burger one time.
Oh, yeah, why not?
It's just that salty and sweet, man.
Yeah, it works.
We also last night tried this new place in Indy. I told you about it. It's called I Heart Mac and Cheese. And it's basically just like a Chipotle, but mac and cheese. So you start with your base, which is you can either get like pasta, cauliflower, or it starts with a Q. Quinoa? Yes, that. So you pick, like, you got four options, and then you pick your what kind of cheese you want. Then you pick your veggies, like whatever veggies you want, and then you pick your protein. And then at the end, they're like, do you want to put another slice of cheese on top for an extra dollar? And I'm like, yeah. And so then they ask you what kind of slice. And then they like run it through. You ever been to like a Quizna or like they run it through those subs. So then they run it through and let everything melt. And they're putting them in these like metal bowls. And then before they put it in your bowl, they get everything all like tossed. Oh, it was so. And they do grilled cheese. Wow. They only do mac and cheese. So you can do a grilled cheese the same way. You can put barbecue pulled pork on a grilled cheese.
You get sides?
No. There's it's no like signs? Chipotle. You just don't really. Yeah. Okay, it's like sense. A bowl. Yeah. It's like a bowl.
But even Chipotle has like chips. Chips and guac.
Yeah. They had chips and stuff. But yeah, I didn't need it. And actually for $20, they have lobster mac and cheese. And I almost did that. But I'm like, there's no way I'm spending $20 on mac and cheese or to eat it in my car on the way home.
Like, Ruth's Chris has the best lobster mac and cheese
I've heard had. That. You're not the first one to tell me
and
that.
It's like, it's one of those things. Because here's the thing. I like lobster, but sometimes because they're like obviously they age so much, and like some of the, like the middle of like the tail meat is real sweet, but sometimes some of that meat on the outside can get a little
It gets a little dry, a little chewy kind of too.
So, but yeah, no, me and Jordan have had that on the list. Like I said, that smoothie place. It's a because you guys were right across from that Birdie's, right?
Is no,
that
where that was we at? Went to the one on IUPUI's campus. I don't know if there is, how many there are.
There's one over by Big Hoffa's if you go under that bridge to the other side.
Oh, okay. So in like Noblesville, more Noblesville. Oh, okay.
And there's it's called like Tropical Smoothie or something.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then like two buildings down is the I Heart Mac and Cheese.
Oh, man. You don't know how much that excites me because I was like, we were talking and I was like, I don't want to drive all the way back down here just for this, but I will definitely drive all the way back down here just
no.
for this. But so now that I can just like whip to Westfield, Noblesville area, let's go.
It was like, all right, next date night, we're just going to shoot down here.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously Big Hoffa's is right there too, but to be able to grab some mac and cheese and hit a smoothie.
It's so good. It is so good.
It's an interesting combination.
Yeah. Mac and cheese and a smoothie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I could do that one. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess if I look at it as like a dessert. But it's tough. Like, I didn't even finish my bowl.
Yeah.
I just ate the rest before you guys got here.
What did you get in your bowl?
So, I did pasta, obviously. I did, like, just some liquid cheese, like, whatever their, you know, basic cheese is. And then I did red onion, jalapenos, and then I think I did red peppers as well. And then I added chicken. I almost added bacon. But I didn't because I just had two giant hot dogs. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm a little ashamed to admit that. But
yeah, I just paid $70 for two hot dogs.
Yeah. If I was like way hungry, I probably would have added bacon. But I just did chicken and then put this cheese slice and then they put like breadcrumbs on top of it, too. Mm. Oh, man. Take me back already.
Is it better than the mac and cheese in Miami?
No, I did say that. Not better than Dre's mac and cheese, but that was a vibe too, man. That might have a little bit to do with it too. We went to this like crazy Jamaican outdoor bar thing in Miami, and there's this food truck. I think they drive all over the world,
probably
called like Dre's mac and cheese or something. Oh,
best ever.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was so amazing. So amazing.
I had a shirt that was like two buttons undone. Like it was just a night.
Yeah, it was a night. Anything else, boys? Anybody else got anything else going on before we jump into the episode?
Oh man, just the hectic life of a factory worker amongst a microchip shortage.
Fair enough.
Brandy. I don't think so. I feel like I had something, but I don't remember what it was.
You know what's funny is Miley is getting, my dog, is now getting to the point where when I come in here and start setting up all our stuff, she just runs to the front door. Like, she just, she knows you guys are on your way, I'm definitely bragging about how smart my dog is. So.
She's living her best life right now.
Oh, yeah. She's always living her
best. Trimmed up.
There is literally no
dog. She went and seen Ricky.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's here. The bald guy that she's like, I might have an affair with is here.
Dude, she's the epitome of the most spoiled dog ever. It's disgusting, but we make it work. Well, boys, let's jump into this episode. Before we do, per usual, we ask that. Oh, were you?
Nope.
Oh, I thought you were signaling me. Mm-mm. Sorry. Let's go.
Bring it on.
We do ask that whatever platform you are listening to right now, make sure that you subscribe, follow, give us a review, leave us 5 stars if you're listening on iTunes and Apple. I don't know if we got any new ones. I will check right now while we're talking. If we do, we will shout you out in a minute. If you left us a review, also reach out to us on social media. On Instagram at Neon Belly Podcast. Thank you, everybody. We had some good people reaching out to us this week about, we asked last week for some suggestions and things that we could do. And I think we got some good ones.
People talked and we listened.
Brandon got some gun suggestions that got. So
got invited to a range and to use ammo, which you might have to marry him to do that.
Yeah. If somebody's offering you ammo right now, you take it.
Yeah. Well, you take it, but then understand that you might have to be their boyfriend for a little
while. Yeah.
It's like prison. If you get offered candy on your pillow, if you eat it, guess what?
Even if you have to kiss them, you just do it right now because it's ammo and it's 9mm. So, speaking of which, are you confirming your gun yet? Have you picked a gun yet?
I mean, I've got it narrowed down to 3. At this point, it's just whichever one I can get first and at the cheapest.
Dude, if you want that Glock 43, I'm telling you, those things go fast.
I've got to find. Like I said,
I thought you said you found one.
Well,
sorry.
I did on Roll King, but that's the only one of the 3 that I've found. Mm-hmm. So,
have you been to Dunham's?
Yep, they have nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Oh, I imagine those would probably go quick. That's what was kind of nice when it was over by the gym, because less people would actually go because it's just a little bit more out the way. Yeah. But being in the mall,
they had like some revolvers, but.
Here's the thing. I could see you being a revolver guy.
Absolutely not.
It doesn't jam. I only need 5 bullets. It's more efficient.
As I was checking our podcast numbers real quick, we did get a notification from Brandon's wife, and I am glad to report that Brandon is definitely doing his job at being a good dad.
Gotta love it.
What I do?
Picture of your son watching some UFC.
Oh, dude, he is hooked, man.
So, good for you. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. There were some murmurs from the crowd that maybe you weren't doing the best job as a father.
Oh, no, listen.
That was the rumor.
It's hilarious because he'll watch, like, Bluey and all these kids shows. Like, he'll kind of, like, pay attention every couple seconds. But when I have a fight on, he will stare at that screen for a solid 2-3 minutes before he turns away. Nice. And she has to, like, say his name because he was eating food. He turned away from his food and stared at this. That's when I knew, like, he's just, he knows what he's doing. Like, he's perfect.
You do got to kind of, now you got to think, like, hopefully kids don't try him at school because.
Yeah, once he's in daycare.
Calf kick.
Yeah, we were talking,
We got a 3-year-old who can't walk.
Yeah. It's going to be all
his legs shut down.
We were talking about that.
How does he even know how to do that?
He's going to go to the park and just start breaking kids' legs and arms and stuff. It's going to be bad.
It's going to be the best.
Here's a quick question. What's your favorite show that he watches that you just like, I could sit here and watch this with him?
None of the new stuff. I literally go to Disney Plus and just play a lot of old cartoons.
Good for you.
He watched 101 Dalmatians the other day.
Nice.
So, like, things like that.
I'm glad you were ready to be a dad, because if you would have. I'm like, oh, I love Coco Melon or whatever.
Oh, I hate all of them. I hate all the new stuff.
Nice.
Good for you, because I do too. And, like, now that my brother's got a nephew, they just assume the TV, and it's like, dude, Coco Melon, really?
Yeah.
It's the same 5 songs.
Yeah, if you don't put on Speed Racer.
Yeah.
There you go. Or that inappropriate anime. Anyways.
Oh, boy.
Last night, boys, UFC fight night, Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt main event, Rob Font. Defeating Cody Garbrandt by unanimous decision.
Masterclass.
What a performance. Let's just get into it. I'll be honest. So the first round, I thought they came out, and I thought it was a pretty close round. I maybe even would have gave Cody a bit of the edge in that first round. And you guys tell me what you think, because I wrote this down, because as I was watching it, this is what I thought. They came out in that second round, and Cody got the early takedown. I think he got an early takedown level change or something. And then actually looked really good on, had some good transitions from the top and looked really good. Like I was like, oh, he's probably just going to hold Font down now. Mm-hmm. And then Rob Font locked up a Kimura and used it to sweep and then kind of created a scramble, a little bit of a scramble, and they ended up back on their feet. I think noticeably when they got back to their feet, it was only about halfway through the second round, Cody looked tired and a little bit defeated, like, or frustrated, and then it just, it was downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, for all of our listeners that taught you a big lesson in jiu-jitsu, you get that grip, you don't let it go.
No.
Because there's a couple times where he was trying to get the good angle on it, and then it was like, well, he's not going to get it, and the next thing you know, they're flipping over, he's up. I mean, it definitely seemed like, I mean, you didn't see Cody really go for any takedowns after that. Some of that could be being tired, but because you know, after you do your first one, that's at 100%. Everyone after that is going to get a little bit less.
There was a couple that I think he went for, and it just seemed out of desperation a little bit, like just maybe even being tired or just trying to fight a little instinctual.
Was it you said the second round when he got the Kimura?
The Kimura was in the second round,
and that was when he had the biggest takedown. Cody
got it. I think he had a takedown in the
first
round. Cody
had two takedowns in the first, but which Rob is kind of got back up.
It was so kind of a
3, 4, and 5. How many takedowns?
Zero.
Yeah.
None in those last three.
Yeah. I don't think so. I can pull up the stats.
I'm pretty positive. Because here's the thing, too. You're tired, and then you just get constantly punched in the nose.
Yeah, it doesn't say.
Because, I mean, Rob Font set his personal record on strikes landed. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, he ate that jab all day.
He actually, they said he broke the record for the highest strike differential in a UFC bantamweight fight. Rob Font landing 183 strikes to Cody Garbrandt's 78. So I
definitely remember watching after that. I thought it was the third round when he came out, and I was like, ooh. I said out loud, like, Cody's tired.
Yeah.
Like, he's really
tired. You
seen
it on the when he's in the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, especially going into that fifth round, he really looked defeated.
It sucks, man, because that first round, his leg kicks looked great. His takedowns looked great. His scrambling looked great, and he was doing some pretty good head movement. It's frustrating because I feel like Cody literally has all the tools to be a champion.
Yeah.
And even this fight, like, I was kind of excited because I'm like, okay, he's kind of adopting a pretty different game plan. He's trying to be a bit more tactical, not rush in. And it still just seemed like the cardio wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then Font obviously did a great job with his jab and just landing at the end of all of his punches. So.
Well, you've seen a little bit of it in the fifth where he kind of let go of everything and went crazy, which even then, Rob kind of calmed that down once again with the jab.
Right.
But, and it's something that I think Bisping had brought up, he did just get over COVID and he had issues with blood clots.
There was a lot of, like we said last week, there was a lot of health issues, and that was kind of my thing for Cody going into this fight is, man, I just, when you go through that many string of like just unfortunate sicknesses and injuries, it's so tough, man. I mean, just because you got to think, like, you know, you're taking antibiotics and different things which are then hindering your performance and training, which I mean, there's just so much. But I mean, credit to Cody, because one thing I thought is, like, going into it, I even said it last week too, is would his chin hold up? And I mean, he took some shots and I mean, he got wobbled, rocked a little bit, but never went down and looked really tough, which I think is pretty encouraging moving forward for him.
Yeah.
I think he's not all the way out
of
the game.
Well, it's encouraging, but he's also never took a bad beating like that before. He's been knocked out.
It was a 5-round beating.
But he's never been beaten. And when you see guys go through that, we've seen it, you know, the past couple months where, you know, some of these guys go through, Tony, you go through a tough fight where you just get beat up for 5 rounds. And it's hard to look the same. You don't really see guys go through that and super bounce back.
One thing I think that is on Cody's side, though, is he was only 12-3 going into this, and he's young. He's 29.
Yeah.
So while that was a pretty bad beating, it's not like he's had a super long career of wars, right? Most of his fights ended quickly, first couple rounds.
Or if he got knocked out, it was pretty quick, too.
Right.
It wasn't like him getting beat.
I can't speak for his sparring or what he's doing in training, but, I mean, just based on the fights themselves, He's got a little time.
And I mean, super credit to Rob Font, too, for not, you know, feeding into the brawls. And, like, when he was up against the cage trying to do that same thing he'd done to his son, Sal, he just would back away.
Especially in that fifth round because, you know, once again, back crediting Cody is in that fifth round. I mean, he got off some bombs on Font, you know, and Font could have got rattled or, you know, tried to engage into a wild, crazy brawl, and he stayed calm and weathered the storm. And but the biggest thing for me coming out of this one for Font is that jab, man. I mean, just it was just on point.
And being able to to keep his striking at length. Mm-hmm. He wasn't landing these shots in a pocket.
Yeah.
He was landing 1-2s
yep.
on the outside and circling them into the right hand. Yeah. He wasn't just trying to get in there. Because he said it himself, I'm not going to go hook for him because that's his punch.
Right. Yeah, he would jab and then cut him off, jab and cut. And Cody, you could tell he was getting so frustrated.
That head kick was nasty.
He had a pretty significant reach advantage too.
Yeah. If I remember right. Man, and you know, so that's kind of the thing with Cody is he wanted to go down to that 125 pounds. That was a thing. I kind of felt like him and Font looked a weight class difference. Like Font looked significantly to me. It was weird. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was just cause Font's such a big 35er or does it seem like Cody seemed a little smaller?
I mean, if he was cutting to go down there already,
that was over a year ago though, but I don't know. Cause Font's arms and back are huge for like, especially that weight class. But I don't know. It just seemed like Cody was a little bit smaller.
Yeah. I'd want to see Font sized up against other guys because I don't feel like Cody looked too small against TJ or Dom.
Yeah,
I thought Font made Marlon look kind of small too.
Yeah, I mean he is a bigger 35. That's what I'm saying. Like it could just be that he's a little bit of a bigger 35er.
His story is kind of crazy too. Being like 20 years old, being a pizza guy, and seeing some guys in a garage doing like jujitsu and being like, I didn't even hear that. Yeah, he talked about it. He didn't get started till he was 20, like I just said, and he was delivering pizzas at some guy's house and they were like in their garage doing like jujitsu watching a UFC fight.
Really?
And he was like, oh, this looks kind of interesting. And then worked his way into doing like boxing and stuff and then found jujitsu.
Super soft spoken guy. Oh, yeah. His post fight interview was like, I just got in a fight with Cody Garbrandt. No big deal.
I got the best jab in the UFC. I'm going to keep saying that I got the best jab.
Yeah. Yeah. It was awesome. But no, another thing I think he did really well, Font, is he kept finding Cody's body, mm-hmm. whether it was on the feet or even there was that one time where I can't remember why he actually took Cody down, which I don't think they said Cody had never been taken down. I don't know if you'd count it as a takedown because it was kind of Rob was going for it, but Cody kind of stumbled a little too. I don't know. It was weird.
Somebody flipped.
Yeah, he kind of flipped. Scrambled. It was weird. I don't know if you'd count it as a takedown. Mm. I don't know. Let me see if they gave him real quick. Check the stats. They actually gave Font 2 takedowns last night. So I'd have to go back and watch to see exactly when they were. But Cody was on his back and like Font went to go throw and Cody like covered up and Font just wham right to the freaking middle of his stomach twice and they were bad. And then I think he had front kicked Cody to the body once, and Cody, like, you could hear it, obviously no crowd, and he just went, reacted to it really badly.
He landed with a really nice front kick to his chin, too. Yeah. Like, he mixed it up really well. I thought that short elbow was going to do more damage than it did because it seemed super clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it caught him in the jaw. But, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously for Cody, you know, he is young. He, you know, if you look at his losses, they're not against scrubs.
No.
You know, and so he does still have chances. And then for Rob, just it's kind of like not as crazy as Oliveira as far as how many fights it took him and the changes he made. But, I mean, who has a better past four performances on the streak that he's been on? Like
in that division?
Yeah, I mean, even just in general, it's kind of tough because, like, you might have some people who've, you know, had some good fights, but these type of finishes he's getting and the way he's kind of dominating people.
I don't know. I feel like that. Usman's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I guess you could say that too. I mean, I guess as far as like a non-champion, there's not a lot of guys who put together the last four fights like.
Oh, dude, Rob his last Font's four fight. Fights are Sergio Pettis, Ricky Simone, Marlon Moraes, and Cody Garbrandt. That is quite the run through of people. Just in terms of names, maybe not numbers.
I mean, Sergio's a champion now. Simone is super tough, and then
isn't Luque on a run right now? Vicente,
yeah,
he's on a big. And I mean, you got like last week, Benil Dariush is on like a 7-8 fight. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as like big names, I mean, Rob Font. I mean, he's to me, it's tough, right? So looking at the rankings, you know, you got obviously Aljo's the champ, which you know,
it's an asterisk.
Well, but you know what? He's champ, but I feel like he's very expendable at this point.
What do you mean?
Well, so like we're hearing like his next stuff, like you know, he's supposed to come back in October. And I think I heard something last week or a week before that he might not be ready. And I just don't think they're going to – I think they'll strip him immediately. You know,
or like at least do like an interim situation.
I don't even know if that, man. I think there's a bad taste in the UFC's mouth a little bit maybe with how it all went down how he's handled it since.
Well, I guess also, though, but if you're UFC, you can't necessarily gift Jan another shot at the title after he – like broke a rule very like blatantly.
But here, here's my thing.
What are you talking about?
Well, so but here's But my thing is you've got, you know, Sanhagen and Dillashaw, they're gonna fight. Mm-hmm. Which could easily be a number one contender match. But let's say Sterling isn't ready in October and the UFC wants to do maybe an interim or maybe strip him and, you know, do a full blown, you know, title shot. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Rob Font, Piotr Jan. I think that fight stylistically makes it's a fun fight.
I think Font, it's kind of like he has a chance to be. I mean, those are all tough fights.
Piotr gets hit, man.
He does, and Font doesn't.
Yeah, and he's
and he keeps that distance.
He cracks too. Let's be honest. So
yeah,
it'd be a fun fight.
I would love it. Yeah, I'm just still frustrated because I feel like I called this with Aljo. Like, as soon as he talked about getting that surgery, I'm like, this is he's going to drag this out. He's not going
to
come back.
Well, and to take that another step, I think Rob Font would walk Aljo, too.
Yeah, right now, I think so. I just think Rob Font's operating on a really high frequency right now.
His camp is so good.
Yeah. That's what's interesting. I'm not comparing them because they're not super similar, but in terms of just aesthetics, that fight kind of, interesting enough that Font trains with Calvin Kattar, and mm-hmm. that fight kind of reminded me of the Max Kattar, just like at one point, you know, not as dominant, but the way Font was just jabbing Garbrandt to death. It was just you know,
it was one of those things
where super dominant.
Every time you've seen Cody's head snap back, well, and especially like in the fifth, there was times where you seen him get hit with that jab and you could just read on his face. He'd start circling. It's just like, I'm ready to be at it.
Yeah, I thought he was going to finish him a few times.
Yeah.
There was a couple times where he cracked him with a jab and Cody kind of, his legs went a little bit mm-hmm. or he kind of dipped. And I know he has that weird head movement, but it was more of like, oh no, he just kind of stuck him.
I felt in the third and fourth, Font just beat him up. Yeah, I mean, it was like he was just getting really beat.
I will say I didn't get the 48-46 count on the... When they
so I think there was like, because they gave him like a 10-8 in there. And then that person, because I kind of gave Cody the first round too. So I think that judge, I haven't seen the scorecards today.
Yeah.
I thought the first round was super. Like if somebody said Rob Font, I'm not going to argue with it. I'd have to watch it again. It was a close round, but Cody got some takedowns. So I kind of gave Cody the first round too.
Well, I get that, I guess. Because if it was 4 rounds to 1, that would have been 49. Mm-hmm. So just for somebody to say 48, that means somebody gave Cody 2 rounds.
Ooh. Well, unless they gave him a 10-8 that first round.
No, because Rob ended up...
But, well, hold on, because last week, the 10-8 scorecard...
Yeah, these judges suck.
The 10-8s are getting weird. And so I was listening to something else this week, I can't remember, and they were running through the definition, the terminology of, like, what 10-8s, 10-9s are. And I think 10-8s are going to be the new norm because essentially it is a 10-9 is, you know, both guys gave a good account and one kind of slightly edged it. So you're talking super close rounds. And then 10-8s are a fighter more or less pretty much controlled the round from start to finish.
Bisping talked about it during the Hermanson fight. He literally laid that whole thing out.
Yeah.
With the way Hermanson was... Everything was around 2 or 3 when he was on top the whole time.
2 is kind of the clue. Yeah.
Well, even that, like the differences between that, because even in the first round of that fight, you know, Rob was getting off his jab still. He got up from the takedowns pretty quickly. Like he wasn't getting held down.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just felt like, even in the fifth, like Cody did come out kind of crazy and landed some good stuff, but then Rob calmed him down, got to throw in that jab more and moving.
Yeah. I don't think Cody ever really controlled a whole round.
Yeah.
Judging is just so weird, man. I'd be so nervous as a fighter. I mean, even if you think you really dominated, unless you like held somebody down for 5 minutes or they didn't touch you at all. You got to assume that everything's up in the air. Yeah.
Well, somebody that wouldn't have had to worry about the judges last night was Carla Esparza because she absolutely decimated Yan Xiaonan last night.
I'm glad we didn't pick that one. I would have picked Yan. Yeah.
I was like, that's why I was so confident when we were talking about picking. I was like, I'll pick because I was going to go Yan the whole time. And but man, Carla Esparza was having none of the hype train last night. Comes out, takes her down from the beginning in the first round, held her down, dominated her. Didn't really get off much ground and pound until right at the end of the round, but came out in the second round and did it again and just got that mounted crucifix and just beat the life out of her.
It was one of those things where when somebody has a way of winning that's opposite of the person they're fighting, it's going to be how bad do I want to take you down compared to how bad do you not want me to take you down?
Yeah.
And Carla Esparza gave every ounce of what she had to get the takedown.
Isn't that interesting though? When you're a wrestler and you can control it like that, because even with what you just said, it depends on whether or not I'm going to be able to take you down, or whether or not you're going to be able to defend my takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your only other alternative there is if you crack me with something.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, well, and some of it's, I feel like, is effort too, because some people who are strikers, I don't feel like put as much effort into blocking a takedown because they think, oh, maybe I can hit you with something on the way, mm-hmm. or you know, if I get up, then I'm going to knock you out. But that's just not how that works. Whereas you see, like, one person I always look at, like, is Aldo. Aldo's not necessarily a wrestler, but if you've ever seen somebody even try to take him down, before his butt even hits the mat, his hips are sideways and he's turning right. and getting up, because mm-hmm. he wants to get up just as bad as you want to take him down.
Right. But even then, like, the whole dynamic of the fight is based on the grapple. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's just something I think that's interesting. When you have a strong wrestler, it's just kind of crazy how much that dictates how the fight's going to go. Mm-hmm. Versus yeah. like two strikers, or I don't know. It's just something that's fascinating.
And then you take it to the next step with Carla Esparza, where it's like any time where she's been forced to where she can't use her wrestling, she doesn't quite look as good. I mean, she's been
yeah.
Didn't Joanna
yeah.
just did her so bad.
But I think last night there's no question she's got to be next for Rose yeah. Nami Yunus. That's five in a row now for mm-hmm. Carla.
You think they're gonna give it to her before Yan Weili?
Yes, I think you have to, because now that's obviously
Weili didn't have title defenses.
Yeah,
or nothing.
Well, and she's
Dana talked about wanting to run that rematch.
You can't, the way that fight ended so quickly, and now Watterson, she's beat Xiao Nan, Marina Rodriguez, Michelle Watterson, Alexa Grasso. I mean, she's on a tear. She's beat Rose already
in the Ultimate Fighter.
So
finale.
To me, I personally think it's a no brainer. She has to be next. Weili, sorry.
Well, like, you know why Dana wants that. She has a whole country behind her.
Sure, a big country.
So the sales is, you know, it's different.
That's what I'm saying. I think as much as I agree with you that Esparza should be next, I could probably see
I just don't see it the way that fight went. If it was a close fight, absolutely. But what, that was only Weili's, what, second or third title defense, right?
First, or I think. She beat Joanna, and then her next fight was...
That was her second defense. She took it from...
Andrade, yeah.
Yeah.
So Joanna was her first defense, and then she lost.
So it's
Rose.
Not like she was like, you know, that was like her seventh or eighth title, and she mm-hmm. deserved. She's been a champ. You know, it's just to me the numbers weren't there in terms of title defenses, and it ended in the first mm-hmm. round, and it wasn't no controversy. I mean, it was
I think the other thing
brutal.
You get to with Dana is making sense isn't necessarily what matters to him with title fights all the time.
Nope.
That's
I mean,
true.
We've seen a lot of people get... Well, you've seen a lot, like Chael Sonnen get a title fight. You know, he gave Dan Henderson a shot at the middleweight on his way out just to be like, hey, man, you know, you're a good guy for us, so let me get you this. Like,
right.
So sometimes that doesn't make sense. And like I said, Weili is the bigger money fight because they probably see that more of a, you know, a big bang session. They're fighting... You know, doing a lot of striking, whereas Esparza is going to be, if she takes her down, it's going to be a long, you know, 25 minutes. But, you know, Rose has improved a lot on the ground, too. So
yeah.
It does give you that interest, especially since Carla was able to kind of really control her in the
tough finale. I don't remember that fight very well.
Rose had hair. Let me just put it that
way. I know that. Well, I remember Rose was running through people on the ground, too. She mm-hmm. was submitting everybody. And then.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's crazy. I mean, like. How good Xiao Nan was. That's going to be interesting to see where mm-hmm. she goes. I mean, that's when, I mean, like, she was getting so beat up on the bottom. Like, I feel like she was, like, dying for the ref to jump in and just end it. Like,
well,
you
yeah.
just kind of see it on
fight,
her face.
Her and Weili in China.
Oh, do they train together? I feel like they're...
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I don't think they'd fight each other.
No. Well, if that's not the case, I mean, that's
a
big fight
could
to make
be,
it in China.
I could be wrong, but I'd be really shocked if they would fight each other. Unless they don't train together, maybe they hate each other. I don't know.
I would love to see that as far as a stand-up fight.
Isn't Brandon supposed to take care of all our China relations? Like, yeah. You're supposed to know these things?
Why? You're
actually,
the one who's a big communist.
Actually, you're our whole European everything.
Yeah. European?
Yeah.
Well, we're making you do it since you hate the accents. So
I
much.
Cover North and Central America. John does South America, Africa, and Australia, and you're supposed to do all of Europe and Asia.
Yeah. Okay, Europe and Asia.
Yeah, we agreed on this.
Eurasia.
Early on.
Okay. I'll remember all the things you just said. Gotcha.
Wow.
Please do.
You get a cell phone and a flip phone and you change.
Well, yeah.
You forget things.
I don't have internet.
You un-get a cell phone.
Yeah.
Privileged people.
He's going to be bringing like a trapper keeper here next to start writing stuff down.
I like the trapper keeper. Next fight that we featured last week, Jack Hermanson defeating Edmund Shahbazyan via unanimous decision. Man, that was really scary stuff early on for Hermanson. Shabazian came out and was just smoking him in the striking. I thought Shabazian looked faster. Mm-hmm. He looked way more technical, a lot stronger. I mean, everything he was landing, it seemed like Hermanson was reacting to. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I mean, I was like, I'm like, you know, forget the takedowns. I don't even know how Hermanson's going to find a way in, because he, every time he was coming in, he was just getting cracked. Mm-hmm. And then they go back in the second round within 20, 30 seconds, Shabazian was on his back and never got back up. Okay. Or he swept him at the end of the second round. Mm-hmm. And they kept saying, like, so he had like a minute 20 where Shabazian did at the end of the round where he was on top and he got off some good ground and pound. And they were like, oh, he might have won that round and stole it at the end. And I'm like, how do you replace almost 4 minutes of control for a minute and 20 seconds of control? Like, mm-hmm. you think he could have stole the round? Like, to me, that was, I couldn't even believe Bisping and them and Felder were saying that. Am mm-hmm. I wrong? Like, maybe my understanding of judges, but Hermanson was on top of him, controlling him for almost 3.5 yeah. minutes. Mm-hmm. And Shabazian's on top for maybe a minute 20.
Well, it was probably just the optic of, and not to say that they were right for this, but it's probably the optic that, because when Shabazian got up, he was throwing like the big over the top ground and pound shots that really weren't landing a lot, but they probably just looked at that as like, oh, you know, he made the push.
Yeah, I mean, good for him for getting up, but I mean, sweeping and getting.
I thought it wasn't even that. It was Hermanson fell off, wasn't it? Like he went kind of high and Shabazian just
something like
rolled.
That.
Well, yeah, he said remember. That Hermanson said that. After the second round, he stopped going to mount because Shabazian was so, like, slippery.
Yeah, and he was rolling to his stomach, and then Hermanson wasn't able to control the back. He mm-hmm. kept slipping off. That's why.
Yeah, I thought Shabazian looked really good in that first. I was telling Brandon when we were walking in, I almost texted him, like, man, I know you don't feel good about that first round. And then second round comes.
Oh, yeah, because I had it definitely 1-1. Going into the third.
Yeah.
And then in the third, Hermanson comes out again and gets another early takedown and just beat him up from top half guard for literally the whole.
And it sucks because
it was bad.
Shabazian, the thing was, is stay away from the cage, because there's no way Jack was going to be able to just shoot a double leg. He would have got probably kneed in the head or something the way that Shabazian was moving and using his footwork. And then in the third round, man, and you hate to see it, but he was in half guard, and all Shabazian did was lock it up.
Yeah.
He didn't. And it wasn't even like Jack was, like, going super hard as far as, like, trying to pass or anything. Like, so Shabazian had chances that maybe he could have tried to recover into, like, some type of butterfly or something, and he just, nope, didn't want no part of it.
I think he was pretty tired at that point. Yeah. Because he was just laying flat and just getting cracked. And
at that point, I'd rather just give up, mount, and work, like, maybe take a chance on turning over and fighting a choke or something instead of just getting beat up for 5 minutes in the head. Like,
yeah, it I was, don't know. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, cause I think towards the end of the round, cause I thought he was in half guard the whole time, but towards the end of the round, Hermanson made it to side control. But did you catch the elbows he was landing like towards the end, like last 2.5 minutes or so?
Yeah,
I thought he was going to finish it with just
the
elbows.
They were vicious.
It was bad.
He and Shabazian looked horrible after that fight. He looked beat up, man.
Like, well, in the first round, I think Hermanson had got a takedown and Shabazian got up. Yeah. So they was like, oh, no, he's not as bad on the ground as people say. And then Hermanson was like, I don't like these getting peppered up like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me do what I do.
Yeah, and man, so like, what do you guys think for Shabazian? Super young guy. Obviously, back during the Brunson fight, before that fight, everybody was like, hey, he's the next big middleweight. Gets knocked out by Brunson. Last night, with the exception of one round, gets dominated by Jack Hermanson. So what do you guys think is next for a guy like him who's just really young, still has a lot of to offer, but man, there's a big discrepancy in the groundwork.
Is Holland for sure going to 70?
I think he's going to 85.
Or no, he's been...
He's
been at 85.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't think...
I like Holland and Shabazian because they're both coming off two losses, both strikers, both relatively young.
It's tough, man. Where does Shabazian train?
At that Glendale boxing where Ronda did.
Mm, it might be a camp change.
That's what I think, too, man. I think I said last... Or, well, couple weeks ago when this fight was supposed to happen, we made our picks, and I'm like, man, that place... Striking, cool, I get it. Like, they're more of a predominantly boxing. I think Lira Latifi might have trained there for a while, too. But once again, like him, guys like him and Rondo, they were judo champs coming into that gym and just more or less needed to learn how to box.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Him being so young, do you think he actually had, like, do you think he'll do that? Do you think he'll change camps?
Probably not. I don't think he will.
Because he's so young, if he could get somebody right in his ear, like, imagine if he went up to like a, or a TriStar or something, like just anywhere where somebody can work.
Yeah.
You having a better game plan because you're athletic, you know, you have really good striking. It's not that you're necessarily, you know, you do have some things on the ground because he like I said, he did do some things right, but you just need to get that next level.
Yeah. I don't know why. And I mean, I'm not going to act like I know the day and day ins of working at the Glendale Boxing. Like, they might have a jiu-jitsu class and different. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But just what we've seen is predominantly most of the people that come out of there are people that have had grappling backgrounds and just want to learn to strike. And it's a great place for boxing and probably develop. I mean, look at Edmund. He's trained there since he's a kid and his hands look great.
Right.
But you're in California, man. You got Kings, you've got AKA, you've got all these gyms where you could go learn.
I forgot that he was there when he was so young too. You got to think how much do you think he wants to be loyal?
No, like, I'm sure. I don't
know. And that's what's unfortunate too. Because
and you got Rhonda. I think Rhonda's like his manager or something. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's where she trained. And I don't know, man. It just, to me, I personally saw a big, big hole in his game.
Well, not only that,
with the not even just on his back, just with the whole grappling department.
Some of the best performance, I mean, all of the best, I feel like, performances you've seen this year, the common thread is just really good coaching, game planning, you know, adjustments, and you're not seeing any adjustments from him in these past two losses.
I think he's going to have to look outside the top 15 for an opponent. I mean, he's like ranked number 10, but even just looking at the rankings, I mean, Kevin Holland's 14, Brad Tavares is 15, but I don't like either of those. Well,
he already knocked out Brad Tavares.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep, you're right about that. So I don't know, man. Maybe I just think until he learns that ground game, this is the blueprint's there now. So I think he needs to kind of take, he's young enough to where he can take a big step back in competition, get some confidence back, and just kind of develop some of those holes that he has in his game.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Hermanson, unfortunately, he's probably pretty tied up right now without an opponent. Everybody ranked above him is,
except for Whitaker,
currently caught up in a fight. Yeah, I think Whitaker's
probably going to hold out.
Yeah,
for the
belt. I think that's pretty much a set in stone thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's kind of, you know, he's going to have to wait a little bit. But yeah, anything else on this card before we move on? Obviously, let's see, some other Justin Toffa lost to Vandera.
That fight was crazy.
That was a crazy fight. Toffa looked really good in the first, and then that Vandera.
I don't remember.
He just kind of took it over the second, third, and looked real. I thought he actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, his conditioning was really good. He was in that fifth. He did something that I wish you'd see more fighters do in the fifth after that break from the knee to the groin.
Yeah.
They had 37 seconds, and he just started throwing front kicks, jabs, punches. Like, he wouldn't let Toffa even get close to him to try to do like this last minute barrage, but he just had so much energy. He's like, no, we're emptying the tank, dog. Like,
you know how many strikes went anywhere other than to the head
in that fight?
Yeah, it didn't seem like
seven.
Didn't seem like there was very many.
So he landed a couple body kicks, and Toffa was like, I mean, he did not like those at all.
I mean, punches. I don't think either one of them threw a single body shot.
Yeah, I don't. Not that I can think of off top.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah, they were just throwing bombs.
And then good old Ben Rothwell hit that guillotine again.
Guillotine choke.
Looked good.
Him, Court McGee, went on the undercard as well.
Yeah. Ben Rothwell just has that really weird, I live in Wisconsin my whole life, guillotine he throws on people. I guess it's just farmhands or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because he can, I don't know the rhyme or reason of how he locks up some of these, but
I think he's probably just one of the strongest. He probably just has one of the strongest squeezes ever.
For sure. 100%. So, good fights. I had to rewatch them. I was talking to Brandon about it. ESPN Plus is terrible.
Yeah.
Their fast forward rewind system is horrible.
Yeah.
You can't like go back. It's so hard to go back and just watch something because I got home later than obviously the event started at 7. I didn't get home till 10:30, almost 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go back and it was just such a pain to try to find like where everything was. So some of these fights I didn't even get to see, but all the fights I saw were really good, really entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anything else on that card before we move on? We need to update some standings. I've been pumped for this. So Brandino. And the good thing is no fights next week. So these standings are going to stand for about 2 weeks. But fill us in.
Where we're at.
On where we're at score-wise.
No memento.
Because I've been dying for you to read these scores off.
You've been dying.
Okay. I think my direct quote last week was, I got a feeling I'm not going to be in last place for long.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So Currently, the standing starting with last place is Brandon with 36 points. Yeah. Nate is in second place with 37 points. Yeah. And then John is in first with 41.
I got 4 points last night, right? I finally got my three bagger.
Yeah, Jack, you got four, yeah.
Jack Hermanson with the decision. So finally.
Yep.
I needed it.
Yeah, I will be honest, in that first round with Font, I was like, man, this fight can go either way. It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because the way they both fight.
Oh, Cody came out really crisp. Yeah. Too,
so once
you, man.
Once he settled in with that jab, I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah. And for the record, I did go back this week and I went back, added up all of our picks since we've started, and I'm actually picking at a higher percentage than both of you. I just don't get the round and method right. Yeah. So.
What do you mean you're picking the winner most?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're down to like 15-20% right. You were at like 40 some and I was at like 56 I think percent.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
I mean, do you have the time to go back and fact check him, because I don't.
No,
I'm
don't.
Not going to do it.
I don't, but I could just say the same thing next week and I have the exact same amount of evidence he does, so.
Yeah.
It may or may not be true, but it's not cool.
I don't believe you at all.
Like I said, I've had a couple really big weeks, and then I have like 1-2 point weeks, but I've obviously got a cushion.
When he said 50%, I was like, "Yeah, nope, absolutely not."
I bet I am. Know what? Just to prove, I am going to go back through and do it now because I bet I pick at least at 50%.
Okay.
You don't think I do?
Nope.
Where would your percentage be?
For me?
Yeah.
Probably what you said. I was with you when you were like 15, 20. I'm like, that's probably accurate. Like, I don't get him right.
You've got to be higher than that.
I don't know.
Have anybody got no points from the weekend?
That'd be hard to do.
Yeah, you'd have to.
You probably have to take the underdog each fight.
And I guess when you think about it, you have a 50-50 shot at least getting a point every fight, right?
Right.
So that's something. But
I would take more satisfaction at the end of this if I did have a higher percentage than you guys, because the rest of the points, like as far as the round and submit the method, it's just a complete guess.
Yeah. Or
like there's not.
You're just seeing the future, dog.
No, there's no.
I'm gonna say it's all a complete guess.
Well,
because fighters have ways that they win.
I think as far, yeah.
You know, like submission still, guys, man, and like, look how many knockout these, guys.
Look how many, like, what was the one? Somebody just won by submission. The odds were like plus 1,500 for them to win. I don't even remember who it was.
I know you're talking. I know what you're talking.
No. That was one, though.
It was a bigger fight.
It was like a main event, like a title fight or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But like Derek Lewis, there's no luck in me saying knockout because that's what he does.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's those.
That's what I'm saying. Those are the ones that are just like, I mean, if I pick the round, maybe. Mm-hmm. But even then.
Well, yeah. So I don't know. It's just,
but that's what I'm saying. But I'm going to start keeping track, because if I pick it at over 50% in the NBA, if you shoot three-pointers over 50%, you're like God mode.
Yeah.
So if I'm picking it over 50%, I'm
so
good.
What you're How saying you, is like so you're gonna, good with making the All-Star but not winning the championship.
Sure.
So you're going to go back and you're going to listen to every single one of our podcasts we've done up to this point.
I mean, this is only our 21st episode. So, I mean, it's
congrats to us.
Congrats to us. We're coming up on 25. But all I have to do is just fast forward to about where we make our picks. And it's not that hard.
Okay. But I've done it, I know what it's like.
No, here's
so.
The thing. It's absolutely stupid for me to do it, but just to prove you wrong, I'm going to do it.
Good luck.
I feel like after about eight, you're going to be like, man, I hate these guys.
Just going to start making stuff up.
Yeah.
I feel like, too, an easier way to do it would be to probably go back to the cards themselves, because I bet I can remember most of my picks.
Well, and it's also, we have some cards where we only do two fights, some where we do, you know, a couple more sometimes, so.
Yeah. So
it'd be interesting.
That's the thing, too, yeah. So, but if you were a good scorekeeper, you would just have them all on record.
Oh, so now it's my fault.
I'm kind of blaming you now.
Yeah. We would have had these numbers.
It is your job, and for some reason, you delete them every week rather than just
between this and your inability to know about Europe and Asia. And
it's just, like, what are you even doing every week?
I mean, there's only so much I can read.
It's like you're a dad or something.
Yeah, just playing touch button apart.
Yeah. Also, real quick, Chris Cyborg did defeat Leslie Smith via fifth round TKO Bellator this week. I didn't watch it. Once again, don't have Showtime, but I heard it was pretty dominant. And just thought I'd mention that
as well. It's kind of weird. I don't know. It seems like five is too long. Like when you're Cyborg, like at least the lore of who Cyborg was before Amanda.
I heard it was a pretty dominant performance, though. Like it really was never super close. And then she just finished her. So there were some other results from that card that were kind of, saw Paige VanZant's husband won. Austin.
Yeah, seen her screaming on IG, give him his title shot.
Oh my gosh. Chill.
He's
a welterweight.
He's undefeated, right?
Austin. Oh, man, no. I feel like he just lost one. It seems like he has maybe one loss or two. Mm. I could be wrong.
Is he a 70 or is he 55?
I think he's 70.
I don't think he wants that Douglas Lima problem, dog.
Give him his title shot.
Give him MVP. Then, I mean, that's...
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to get a good fight. I mean, even Paul Daly, like...
Yeah.
Let's not act like he's out here just beating everybody. He hasn't beat Benson Henderson or something.
Is it Fabian? Was that who he just beat, that guy? That was a big win for him. That was a big win. I'll give him that. But, yeah, I don't know. The top of Bellator is pretty dangerous.
Listen, when Paige Van Zandt says something, you listen.
That's true.
And on that, let's jump into some news. First things first, boys, we're going to talk about Dana White confirms Stipe Miocic will get the winner of Ngannou versus Lewis after once again questioning John Jones' desire to fight. He did also confirm that they are working on Francis's next fight, which is expected to be in August.
They said that last night.
Yeah, so
265,
I think.
Amanda, yeah, August 7th, and Pena.
I think, I can't remember.
And then the co-main was to be announced, and the lady interviewing him after the fights was like, so you're saying that maybe this is open for like Derek Lewis? And he was like, duh.
Pretty much.
It's one of many, but yeah.
But so what do you guys think? Like, at this point, this whole thing is just so weird, right? Because a couple weeks ago, he came out and said Lewis was, going to be next. Jones fires, not fires, but moves on from his management, which I think we talked about a little bit on here. And then things kind of go quiet for a little. Lewis says last week in Houston at the press conference that he is pretty much next. And now he's saying, you know, then the whole thing was floated with Stipe Jones, and Jones was like, I'm not fighting Stipe. I didn't come up to this division for that type of fight. I want the title, which once again goes back to like when people think that Jones is scared. It's like, he's not, because he's not looking for a fight with Stipe. He wants the biggest fight he can get, right? And then Dana White comes back and was like, well, that's funny because Stipe's next for the belt. So, because you don't want to fight.
Well, did you see what else Dana said? He said, he could always go back down to 205.
Yeah.
And then he also said, well, why don't he just retire like Khabib did and be undefeated?
Yeah.
And just live his life out like that?
Yeah, he was like, he'd be the GOAT.
Listen, well, it's one of those things where
Well, it's funny because he keeps saying he's the GOAT. Dana keeps saying, John Jones, he's the GOAT. Oh, he's the GOAT. But then it's like these little backhanded, like,
well, he has comments. To save face for if things do work out.
It's just negotiations that are playing out live. And let me ask you guys this. Would you be shocked if this week or next week, whenever Francis's fight is announced, it's John Jones?
Yeah.
You would be shocked at this point?
100%.
It doesn't look good for Jones.
And the reason I say that is because it seems like you're... I feel like John Jones has done this before with like the, oh, I might just retire or...
But he's not saying that.
No, though. I know, but since it's Dana White, I feel like the way he's putting his cards on the table is he's willing to wait this out.
I still
because they have so many other contenders and big fights to make.
I feel like if this was happening, 2010, 2011, it's a different story, but I just feel like today Dana's not in a position to...
And that's a good point.
Because
Lewis and Ngannou is still a massive fight. Yeah. They're still going to get, it'll still be a huge pay-per-view, but it's just interesting to me because Jones has been really quiet, which is really interesting because typically he's always pushing back at everything Dana says. I do think he has, whether it's been announced or not, I do think somebody is negotiating for him, whether it's Ali Abdelaziz, Habib's.
That would make me feel better if it was
him. I kind of wonder if something is going on behind the scenes.
Paul Heyman,
yeah, Heyman. Hey, they might get it done. Get it over the line.
He's probably got Brock some money, man.
But no, it just would be interesting to kind of know what is going on with the whole thing. But I will say this, me personally, I do not plan on it being John Jones announced, but I would not be shocked if it was.
I would be.
Because I still feel like these comments, like he's going out of his way to kind of make these comments. So I still feel like there's negotiating that's going on.
Well, I'll say this. I would be surprised if Stipe gets the winner more than I would if...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that definitely was just a...
Because two, I mean, I know... I don't know. I just feel like Francis and even beyond like the theatrics around it, I feel like Francis and Lewis are more ready for this fight to happen in a month or so.
Yeah.
Whereas John Jones is still, you know, he bulked up. I'm trying to get into the conditioning side of it.
Right. I am pretty surprised that I get that it's a tactic for the most part, putting Stipe there, because just the way that last Ngannou fight looked, I was like, oh, I wouldn't be surprised if Stipe called it quits. But
I kind of thought that too, but he's not looking like that.
But honestly, I also wouldn't be surprised if we get a Jones retirement tweet.
Really?
Eventually. Man, I just have a feeling. I have a bad...
I don't.
And as a I'm usually like digging on John because I don't know, he annoys me. But as much as I would like to see him fight a heavyweight really bad, I have a feeling it's just.
I don't think he's done.
He's also last time all this stuff happened, he was like, release me, I'll go fight somewhere else. Like,
yeah, no.
It's obviously a tactic thing, but I do think that, and honestly, I think Stipe is the card that Dana has to be able to push John back until he kind of caves in, because I have this greatest heavyweight of all time in the pocket that I can use for a big fight as well. So I still have two big fights before I even got to look at
you. He's got some contenders coming up too. You got, is it gone? And I mean, you've got a couple other guys moving.
That's why I think it's crazy. Like, if there is a way to get it done, I still think it's crazy if it's not Jones, just because that whole greatest of all time, you know, would be completely off the table. It would be John Jones at that point. But man, it just, I don't know. It just still seems to me that, I don't know. There's so much more to this story that we don't know, and we probably never will know.
Well, and it's hard from the fan standpoint, because to me, fight Stipe.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. As a fan, as a fan of John Jones, I would love for him to fight. Because if you beat Stipe and then go beat Ngannou or Lewis, I mean, there's definitely no question at that point. Mm-hmm. And it's interestingly enough, you were saying about Stipe is he's not done, and he's saying he's actually going to put on weight and muscle and stuff to try to, you know, go get that fight back with Francis, which I don't know if you guys saw Lewis, but he was like, man, ain't no muscle going to help him with that fight.
You see what else he said about Francis? Like, every time I stand next to him, it makes me look fat.
Yeah. Oh, he's the best, man. I'll say this, no matter what happens with John Jones, I would love to see Francis or Derek Lewis become a world heavyweight champ at some point.
Just, I don't like, man, I just, but is, I don't like Jones Lewis. I don't like that fight. I just feel like Jones is just going to run through
him. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like I said, here's the thing. If Lewis gets past Francis, this post-surgery Lewis is a problem.
But see, that's why, as a fan, I wouldn't be too concerned. I would love to see John Jones. Like, it's not a big deal for me to see him fight for the belt first, because I just want to see what he looks like at heavyweight.
Yeah, that's why I said Stipe, do it.
But I also understand from the UFC and John Jones' perspective is you lose that fight and all your cards are off the table. And the UFC, they're like, well, there goes our, you know, big selling, you know, big ticket.
I mean, but if you're the man, if you're John Jones, like, why are you worried about losing?
Well, I think here's the thing. I think he just wants his money. I think he wants to make sure before he fights, he gets that payday that he feels like he wants. Here, if they offered him whatever he wants to fight Francis, to fight Stipe, I think he would do it. I just think he wants to make sure he's going to get compensated for it.
I just don't know.
We don't know.
I hope they work it out, man.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
Not only for his legacy, but just for UFC. After having, you know, a rough time with, you know, fighters getting COVID and having to do the Fight Island and all that.
Yeah.
To be able to, like, you know, you probably won't be able to end the year with it, but to even, like, start off next year with John Jones fighting at heavyweight, that would be huge. Even, like, a New Year's, maybe.
Just the more time off he takes, I don't know, maybe not so much at a division like heavyweight, but you see Connor, who took a lot of time off, and you kind of saw the game pass him up a little bit.
He's getting older.
And he's getting older.
And
he's like 34, I think.
And like his last couple fights are any indication, the game is catching up with him.
I think that's just prime. I think like he's more in his prime right now, though, but what he doesn't want to do is get lost in the game and technique and things that you can really only learn from getting in there and experiencing the fight, which is, like I said, I think is kind of what happened with Connor a little bit in that last one, you know, just the game evolved.
You don't see a lot of guys that had it and kind of lose it and get it back. That's why I've been really impressed with what Aldo's done, because to, like, lose to, you know, Connor and then have those fights with Max, it kind of seemed like, oh, you're about to retire. And then he goes on this run, you know, was putting it on Jan for a little bit before his rib broke. Like,
yeah, but those Russians, man. They don't play around.
You don't even. We literally even put you in charge of Asia, and you don't even tell us what's going on.
That's your fault.
You focus on one part of Asia.
Yeah, you should have known. You should have put me. You should put me.
There's more to Asia than Russia.
Well, like I said, we know how he does with accents. So
that's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. He's definitely not going to look at the
Marxism?
UK.
Marxism.
next fight. Next bit of news. Excuse me. Paul Felder retires from MMA last night on the UFC broadcast. Says he no longer has the desire to fight or do fight camps at a high level. He's retiring as the number 9 lightweight in the world with a record of 17-6. He is also the last fighter to beat current champ Charles Oliveira. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul Felder.
Made it as high as 6th in the division in the world. Good for him, though, man. You see a lot of these guys who don't have it. I mean, I feel like Cerrone. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't necessarily, you still can compete, but you don't have that fire. You're getting beat up by these guys.
Yeah.
It's, and you've seen, I mean, also, you know, Alan Jobin, another guy who gets in tough fights, retired earlier this week.
Yeah.
You're seeing these guys, and especially because they have commentating jobs waiting for them.
I think that's a lot
of it. I can make maybe not as much if I get like these fight bonuses, but they're probably making more than they were making off their, you know, fights in a year, because you might get injured and not be able to fight.
Yeah.
This is constant paychecks. You get to travel. You're still around fighting.
Sure.
I mean, why not?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's good for him. It's good for the division to kind of give it a little bit more room.
Yeah.
Room
for some other guys. I was definitely looking forward to seeing him against some of these guys.
Yeah, well, he's ranked so high at number 9 that I think him kind of moving over in the division like is really – because like a guy like Islam who's sitting at 10, he'll wake up tomorrow at number 9 now because Belter, I'm assuming, will be out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so good for him for making that decision intelligently while he still has – you know, his brain, and hopefully, you know, can still maintain. I mean, he's just been through some wars.
When that boy came out in the mullet.
Yeah.
Was just throwing spinning back elbows and stuff. That's what made me a fan when I seen that mullet flying.
Yeah.
Couple other fights to announce for UFC 265 on August 7th. Uriah Hall versus Sean Strickland. Love that fight.
Ooh, yeah.
And Jose Aldo versus Pedro Munhoz. Ooh,
that's another. A big one.
That card is looking nice. Yeah. That card is shaping up, boys.
When's that?
August 7th, UFC 265. Next thing we got, an arbitrator has ruled that Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder must face each other in a rematch before September 15th of this year. Fury was scheduled to face Anthony Joshua in August. Wilder was supposedly offered money to step aside to allow Fury and Joshua the match to continue, but he apparently denied the money because last night Fury did announce that he is now facing Wilder, and that fight is tentatively agreed and scheduled to take place on July 24th.
Yeah.
This is wild. It's crazy.
Well, here's the thing. I've been wondering, like, you're Deontay Wilder. Obviously, you had these two fights with Fury where, you know, things were, you know, the first one, you know, you arguably knocked him out and the timing was a little bit weird. Second fight, obviously, you got poisoned by your team and you wore heavy armor and whatever.
You don't actually buy that stuff.
No.
Right? Okay.
I'm just saying but here's the thing. He's still a huge draw. So why haven't you fought?
Yeah.
Come to find out, he's been sitting on his hands because he had litigation going through, because I thought that they should have done the trilogy fight as well, just because the first fight, I felt like Wilder got him and the count was a little bit off. Like the ref was delayed in going and counting Fury down.
Just as a non-boxing fan, I'm actually aware of this whole situation. But I was just going to ask how you guys think the third fight or the trilogy goes.
I mean,
but
if you're Wilder, you better win.
I think, here's my thoughts on this whole thing. I think Wilder played this whole thing terribly. I think he's going to go into this fight absolutely hated by most fans. I think because here's the thing too, is some bad, is like the Fury Joshua fight's one that people have wanted to see for so long, and it was so close. And I think a lot of people are really bummed about that. All credit to him. I mean, if he's deserving of it and he's owed it, then he has the right to take it. But I think the smart thing to do would take some money to just sit out another 6 or 8 months and get better. He was not even close. Like, I've heard so many people that know so much more about boxing than me say that there is no way that he can get better in an amount of time to be competitive. Yeah. I mean, he'll always have that one punch chance.
Is that what that first fight? You can guess what the first fight was just him landing on that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. But like the second fight, I mean, he did drop him in the second fight, and Fury just got up like the Undertaker and ended up finishing him or whatever. But you know, I don't know, man.
Wait, he didn't drop Fury in the second fight, did he?
No. That was the first fight.
But in the second fight, Fury just kind of just took it to him or whatever.
Yeah, he just walked him down.
Yeah.
And that's what they were, is like, if he fight, he just has to go out and do that again. And like, there's not really much Wilder can do.
Well, this is where things get interesting with it, though, because
loaded gloves.
Well, no.
Yeah. Separate the padding from the wrist.
If Wilder doesn't wear the armor.
Yeah.
No, but with this, now you might have Fury being a little bit emotional, being upset.
No, I don't think so.
Wilder still does have the power to do it. But here's the other thing with Wilder. He probably doesn't get another chance at Fury because Fury probably retires after the Joshua fights, because he was talking about retiring before the Joshua fights.
I don't think so, dude. I actually loved what, like, last night they were like, do you think he should have taken the money? He's like, no, I'm just going to pay him in an ass beating. Like, I'm ready to pay him in full. Like,
he's hilarious.
He's hilarious, but he's handling it like, yeah, I'll fight this chump. Like, he's not even on my level. And I think that's true. And I think Wilder's, for what he's been able to do in such a short amount of time with I mean, and to do it at the highest level is, and I was a huge, I still am a Wilder fan. I just think how he's handled his whole career after that loss. And then this added on to it has just been terrible. And unfortunately it's like whoever's advising him, but I don't think anybody's advising him. I think he's just kind of flying off the handles and doing his own thing.
As much as this, people obviously were looking forward to Fury and Joshua. I do think this is probably Wilder's last chance to get at, because there's much, because of the promoters.
But that's why rush, like though. That, but then why rush?
Because you might not get it.
But if you lose, if you go out and lose this fight, you're done. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
Well, this is probably his last chance to get one of these big guys.
So why not just take another 6 or 8 months, let them fight?
Because they might not be there.
I don't, even if Fury's not there, him and Joshua was a fight we wanted to see too for so long.
Yeah, but the promoters get in the way of a lot of these fights. That's what I'm saying. This but is the only way you can guarantee.
It always comes out though. I mean, they usually always get it figured, even if it takes some time. I just think he's young enough and just, I don't know. I think the way he handled it was just
boxing
not
just
right.
has a way of not, like I said, we talked about it before, fighters pricing themselves out, mm-hmm. promoters trying to say, well, if we don't get the big cut, I mean, they've been trying to set up Bud Crawford and Errol Spence for years, and it just, one gets in the way or something else. But did you see what the WBO is doing for Joshua? Mm-hmm. He's now mandatory to fight Alexander Usyk.
I don't even know who that is.
He's he trains with Lomachenko. He's I think this is for the cruiserweight champ. He's a former cruiserweight champion, which in boxing the weight classes are different. But he's 13-0. He was the next contender before Fury stepped in. So now they both basically have a fight. So if, you know, Joshua loses this and Fury loses that.
But it just adds to the whole Joshua thing, because he doesn't fight anybody. Yeah. That's been his knock on his career. Well, other than Ruiz, and Ruiz put him on his ass. So
yeah, this second fight. This fight's going to be tough, though. This Alexander is really good.
This is why boxing sucks.
It's annoying. It doesn't suck, but it sucks when this is everything that's wrong with boxing. And this is like this stuff just, like, we get the John Jones, Stipe Francis stuff, but the good thing is they're all still in the UFC, and they're all eventually going to have to probably fight each other at some point. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter when or where it is, but this stuff, he's saying is, oh, they might not be there, you might not, and that's true, but it's like, that's the problem with the sport.
Yeah.
And that's too why many, it's, nobody
too many promotions, too many belts.
Which is unfortunate, because I think the talent pool is probably the best it's been in like a decade. It's unfortunate.
It's definitely unfortunate.
GSP confirms that Dana White rejected a potential boxing match between St. Pierre and Oscar De La Hoya. Apparently it was going to happen through Triller, and Dana White said, nah, son, ain't happening.
So bogus.
It is a little bogus, but and that, because the bogus thing is, I feel like Dana White's letting his personal feelings towards Triller and De La Hoya get in the way of like GSP having this, like, what could just be a fun thing to watch.
Well, not only that, like, how, where, and you see it happen sometimes, some people get lucky enough to get a clean break, but if St. Pierre's retired, how does Dana have any say over him doing anything else?
Because he's still under contract. I'm sure he's still under some professional contract.
Yeah. But then you look at like Anderson, who got a clean cut basically from it.
I think it's the same thing with Askren. He had to get permission to fight Jake Paul. There's just some contractual stuff.
Did you see what Thriller offered? They countered. They said basically they would give $1 million to any charity that Dana picks if they let him do this fight.
That's nothing to Dana, though.
No,
I'm just saying. But that puts it on Dana. Like, oh, you don't want to give a charity $1 million?
He's not going
to care. Dana White, don't you think? Dana White does not strike me as a philanthropist or somebody that cares about other people.
It's just so dumb to I don't get Dana's side of it. Like,
I wonder if some of it has to do with watching Ashton go out there and get clocked, and then he's like, I don't want GSP to do that.
Another UFC guy.
And this is also super old and out of shape De La Hoya.
Didn't De La Hoya ask to fight Dana now?
Probably.
I think he's been wanting
to fight him.
I feel like he'd want to fight like Bane or something at this point. He's just, De La Hoya is a different guy too. You might not, you don't have like the background of it, but he has a pretty crazy past as well. So
Gordon Ryan announcing he is taking an indefinite leave of absence from competing due to his stomach issues. All of his scheduled matches have been canceled. Pretty unfortunate, man. That thing that he has, for people that maybe he talked about it on the Rogan interview, that would just be miserable, man. Yeah. His stomach, did you hear it?
Not all of it. It's something to do with he gets like nauseous all the time.
Yeah, his stomach doesn't digest food the way like all of ours normally does. Mm-hmm. So like he just basically always, like his food just sits in his stomach and he just sits there all day. But obviously he wants to maintain a weight and stuff, so he just always has to eat.
Right.
But his food doesn't digest, so he just always feels like he's going to throw up.
You know, what's also crazy to me about that is, like he said, he's been competing through it.
Yeah.
He's still doing what he does to everybody.
And I think, you got ADCC next year, right?
Yeah.
So I think he's probably thinking long-term here, like, you know, what is going out and facing Cyborg or the Luis guy that he was supposed to face at the next WNO, which Craig Jones stepped up and is going to take that match now. And then his, like, 1FC, like, great potential, you know, go out and get some good competition. But, I mean, he'd probably rather get healthy for ADCC next year.
Hopefully.
And it's crazy coming from, like, an antibiotic for, I don't remember what he was taking it
staff.
For.
He said he was, like, staff.
It's so crazy. I mean.
But he said he was taking it so much.
Mm-hmm. Like, he was constantly getting it?
Yeah.
Staff?
And over and over and over. And he just kept taking, like, an oral antibiotic. And eventually, they think that it just killed his stomach, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy.
Some of these medicines are.
Yeah, Diego Sanchez ends his professional relationship with coach Joshua Fabia.
Things
got weird. Did you see this?
I saw that it ended, and I saw the text thread that you guys were going through.
He was like exploiting him on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Dude, the video.
Did you see the video?
Well, like not like so. I saw it in a YouTube video. A guy did like a full breakdown of the whole thing.
I need to watch that.
You don't see any privates, but. Essentially, Fabia got Diego Sanchez and one of his training partners to perform leg locks on each other naked in a river.
Did Diego talk about that?
And they are fully naked.
He hasn't put any like statements out other than
his. Well,
and it was his lawyer who put it out.
Yeah,
I need a statement really bad.
But here's the other thing: that Fabian dude had access. Like he was his, what's the term for the person?
Beneficiary.
Yeah,
or
like the.
Yeah.
What?
The person who, like, on your will who makes the decisions for you in the hospital. What's it called?
Beneficiary.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, beneficiary, but it's like a, I can't remember what the other term for it
is. Yeah, I think I know. Oh, dude, they said he was, like, starting to, like, alienate Sanchez from his family, like, telling him they're all out to get him.
He was basically setting this dude up to basically kill himself and have rights to all his stuff.
Yeah. Dude, I think I was actually going to, like, get to that. Like, was he basically trying to get Diego to, like, go off the deep end so he could just
listen,
it's a cult. Like this dude is
if I was Diego's like nephew or uncle or something,
yeah,
that Josh dude's probably catching it in a parking lot or something.
Well, that's the thing, because like his, even like the other OnlyFans video, like one of them was like them stretching and they were like, he set a camera up in the octagon and like basically had Diego like, and unknowingly to Diego, stand in a position where his butt was going to be facing the camera, and he had him and like put like, oh, look at that hind end or something, like put this like romantic music, like it's just weird.
So I said in the text thing, like,
weird.
It kind of sounds like he was grooming him to be a sex slave too. Oh,
bro, just weird.
Here's the thing: as much as we're putting all this on the coach, is like, I want to know what Sanchez's thought process was through any of this.
But I think he was targeted.
It's CTE.
If it's not CTE, I think. We all could probably say, like, Diego's just a different dude in general.
Sure.
And I think, I feel like he was targeted. I think Fabia.
What do you mean
so,
targeted?
Like, okay, so you guys know the story of how they met. Fabia came to Jackson's and supposedly asked Diego to roll and, like, tapped him out in 40 seconds. And Diego was like, you've got to show me how to do that. And then that's kind of was, like, the start of their relationship. But I feel like Fabia went to Jackson specifically to target. He knew Diego was probably somebody that could be. I think this dude's a master manipulator.
Mm.
And he saw a guy like Diego and was like, I could know. Maybe not, but.
Well, I feel like the stuff he's talked Diego into doing and positioned him into. I mean, like I said, even before we figure out the weird stuff, the hanging upside down and kicking him in the head and yelling at all these UFC officials like he's his dad.
That's why I'm getting back to the brain. Like you said, I don't know, like get him to kill himself necessarily, but like he was clearly trying to damage this dude beyond being able to make decisions for himself. And then, oh, I'm here to make his decisions now over his family and everybody else.
Yeah. Well, and when we talk about manipulating, when he left Jackson, his whole thing was, you know, I wasn't getting attention, you know, da 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 da.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I think he was targeted.
Yeah.
Because that stuff was already starting to come out before Diego left. And I think Fabia saw his end.
Yeah, man. It's
sad. It's crazy, but good for Diego.
Free at last.
Free, yeah.
Maybe.
Also, Derek Lewis caught a man trying to break into his vehicle. He confronted the man by knocking him unconscious before the police showed up to arrest the guy. Lewis did take time to film the man being put into the cop car to confirm he's okay. Shout out to Derek Lewis, man.
Yeah.
Great. Could you imagine breaking into a car and it just so happens to be one of the baddest dudes on the planet? Yeesh. And he walks up and says, "Hey," and you turn around and you just get knocked unconscious by Derek Lewis.
Nah, that's not good.
Oh, I love it though. Yeah. That's what you get. That's exactly what you get.
You think the guy knew who he was at all?
No, he probably just saw the car and just went into it.
Yeah.
So
thanks, man.
Any more news, boys?
I got a nice little couple. Edson Barbosa calls out Max Holloway, but would settle for Calvin Kattar or Yair Rodriguez.
I saw that. Yeah,
those are all potentially.
I thought he wanted Zabit.
I mean, probably him too. I mean, he basically just wants a top five opponent. Yeah. But based off his last performance, that seems like a pretty exciting idea. Also in the works, Mackenzie Dern and Marina Rodriguez for I think they want to put that on 264 or something like that.
I also saw Tatiana Suarez once Mackenzie Dern, which I think would be a great fight.
Oh, yeah. We also have last night, Josh Taylor defeated Ramirez, and he's the one who wants Terrence Crawford next.
I've heard the Josh Taylor name.
So, I mean, I don't think Taylor has much for Crawford, but, I mean, that's a potential matchup. And then the big one, on my birthday, we got Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence.
Oh, really?
August 21st in Vegas.
There's a UFC card that day, too.
And that's the fight night one we were talking about with Costa and Cannoneer.
Yeah, that'd be a good night of fights.
Oh, yeah. That's super exciting. And then I did have one other thing, or two things. Luke Rockhold, did you see his comments on Chris Weidman?
No, I saw his comments about
He
Izzy,
says, and I quote, "I wish him all the best. You know, that's a tough one. I don't know what it's like to have those little feminine chins, you know. I don't know, because I broke mine the first kick of the fight, but somehow it didn't break."
Okay.
What?
Okay.
For a second, I thought you said chin. Like, doesn't have a brittle chin. I was like, well, that's
said
not.
He had feminine chins is the...
Shins, like the
feminine
part of your
leg. Shins.
That's the term that he went for. And then... Oh, Kevin Lee moving up to welterweight to fight Sean Brady.
That. Yeah, I saw that.
So no Mike Perry? I thought he was going out Mike Perry.
So that's interesting because we're seeing people kind of running from Usman at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like there's one other thing.
Running from or to? Because Usman's 170.
Oh, yeah, running. Well, are yeah, you? Running to. I was thinking of, what we were talking about Ferguson even going up, but I guess got confused on the weight class. But I did have one other thing I want Brandon to read, which is Petra Jan's comment on Cody Garbrandt.
I'm going to read this whole thing out loud.
The quote. Piotr.
Go ahead.
So this is verbatim, okay?
Yeah.
"I don't know what else did you expected. Being calm, not going to compensate all of Cody's technical flaws. I wish him to bounce back, though, because I still want to kick his..." Can I cuss?
I mean, you know what, cuss? I mean, you're reading it.
You're not
your
saying
dad.
Okay.
Don't say the F word.
"I still want to kick his ass in the future, and don't worry, Rob. One day I will F you up, too. I have another business to handle now." You trying to get me to slip up? Is that what this
is?
Yeah,
if you wouldn't have said nothing about cussing and you wouldn't have said don't say the F word, I was wondering if you just
said... Oh, no.
So we're setting traps. Is that
of course. Okay. I mean, that's the whole thing. But no, I think that's... It's funny because Cody's just one of those like polarizing figures at this point, and he talks so much stuff about certain people. So it's weird when you see people lose and you're like, "Oh, I hope you get better because I still want to fight you, but I know I can't fight you."
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Till thing.
Is Usman gonna fight Chiesa or is he gonna fight Covington?
No idea. I think Covington is.
I did
fight.
See a rumor that he wanted to step in for Diaz for the Edwards fight.
Usman.
Mm-hmm.
Diaz. That's
weird.
Yeah.
Oh, like back when they had canceled it. Oh, okay.
He just wants to knock them all down, man.
It's probably the quickest way to retire. You knock out everybody in the division, you can be like, "All right, I'm out."
Yeah.
Also have to mention July 17th, our boy James Schaefer will be making his pro MMA debut at Coliseum Combat 54 right here in Kokomo, Indiana. Also, Kyle Thomason will be defending his amateur lightweight title. And our young Gaha killer, Caden Taylor, will be making his MMA debut. All Gaha teammates of ours, and we're super pumped to go watch some Coliseum Combat right here in Kokomo, Indiana on July 17th.
So exciting.
Boys, do we have anything else before we get out of here? Brandon.
I'm better at Call of Duty than Jacob.
Ooh. Okay, give me three reasons why right now.
Because I'm just quicker in general. I have better classes. Like, the weapons I choose are just automatically better in terms
of tactics. Like, specifically one gun that you think is better than...
Any of them. 7.25, burst, Bison. I mean, any of them. Go down the list. And then finally, I'll just say positionally, I'm a better positional player than him. Like, he just tends to rush in and doesn't think. So it just does what it is.
That's what I've heard.
So you're a little bit more like tactic. Like, sorry.
I'm just literally better. I don't know how else to put that. Okay. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, if we 1v1, he would have a terrible time.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. That's bold, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
John, I don't even know how you follow that.
Yeah, no.
But,
I mean,
do you have anything before we get out of here?
I don't really have any good follow ups. Like, beware, it's SWAS season. That's about all I got.
I'm going to leave with a question for Brandon.
Great.
Because John knows the answer to this. Well, we've talked about it. Brandon, when was the first line for some of these guys?
What?
When was the first line for some of these guys?
I don't understand. Can you speak slower?
No, what he's saying is, when's the first line for some of these guys?
I'm asking you the question. It's a question.
I don't know the answer.
Is it Boulder or Fender?
I still don't know
the answer. That's probably, yeah. If you wanted to break it down, that'd be a better way of asking it.
Is it Boulder or Fender?
I still don't know.
It's either the first line from these guys or it's Boulder or Fender.
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
Could be Craney, too.
Yeah.
Craney, Boulder, or Fender.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just pick one.
Tell us.
I don't want to.
Wow.
When was the first line for some of these guys?
I can't answer that. I don't know.
All right.
Well, you might be better at Call of Duty, but you're more stupider.
Yeah,
good one.
For not even having an answer. Maybe you'll figure it out next week.
I'll try.
Did you know they say Jupiter protects us from asteroids?
No fights next week, boys, but we will be back next week nonetheless. We'll have some good stuff going on.
Hug your mother.
Have a good Memorial Day weekend, and we will see you guys next Monday.
Peace.